I had been approved. For what, you may ask? My very first credit card. Oh, the joy, the freedom, being able to spend money that wasn't truly mine. What a great thing to be approved for. Or was it? You know, being approved is this interesting concept that's interesting because you have to get approved for things like credit cards, and these days I can't tell you how much mail I throw out that says you've been pre-approved. Like, thanks, but no thanks. But you have to be approved for, you know, getting a car loan, getting your visa to go to another country. Maybe your job requires you to have a security clearance for whatever reason. If you want to become a police officer, not that any of us here do, but that requires a trial phase, and I know this because a friend of mine was recently became a police officer down in San Diego. You know, but during that time, he was being examined and scrutinized. And he had to go through a full investigation to make sure that he was going to be a good candidate for the job. You know, only after he had gone through lots of interviews, his background had been checked by multiple people. Only then was he, you know, approved for the job and then subsequently offered the job and took it. Well, as a Christian, it is my full-time job and responsibility to make sure that God is approving me. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 tells us, "Be diligent to present yourself approved by God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So Paul tells us here that the frame of mind of a working Christian is to prove that God, to prove to God that we want to do two things. A, not be ashamed of being a Christian. And B, being able to understand the truth because we are not ashamed. In Psalm 119, and starting at verse 4, David echoed these very same thoughts. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 4, we'll read to verse 8. "You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with upright of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." And when we start to think like this, it brings a change in who we are. David realized this when he said, "Oh, that my ways were directed to your keep your statutes." You know, he wanted to grow as a Christian so that he could follow after God more closely. This very growth, then, is not something that is quietly kept in a closet, brought out only on Sabbath when we meet here for church. But rather, we should be embracing it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. "Meditate on these things." 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. "Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, and your progress may be evident to all." Verse 16, "Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing these things you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So when we give up who we are entirely, and we seek God in every aspect of our lives, Paul tells us that our progress, our growth, it will be evident to all. Do we realize what that means? our progress will be evident to all. You know, it's not just you and me who are sitting here that are going to see this progress. Again, rather, it will be evident to all. Think about Joseph. He was nobody. He ended up in Egypt and was second none to Pharaoh. Think about Daniel, his friends. They were captives in a land, and yet they ended up serving the king. These were regular people, like you and me. They believed truly in what they were doing, and they believed in God, and he worked with them, and their progress was evident to all. There were men, flesh and blood, no different than you and I. Now, these stories bring the Bible to life for us when we realize that they were not superheroes with fantastic special powers. So, where does that leave us today? As true Christians, right now, can others say about you and me that our progress is evident? Can our friends and our families and the people we work with say that there is something different about us? What would be said about us? You know, if we are having progress and growth in our lives, then our foremost action should be, of course, to seek after God. Now, this only comes from a deep conviction and a deep and strong desire to please God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 says, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not pleasing men, but God, who tests our heart." So again, we see that being approved constitutes us being able to be trusted, which is exactly what God is looking for in us so that we can enter into his kingdom. Now, this trust requires us to continually be moving forward in progress. If we stop becoming approved by God, then we fall back into what we have been trying so hard to escape. Our lives would mean nothing at that point. 2 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18, says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever." Falling back after becoming entrusted with such a great truth is a terrible thing. And this is no time for us to fall away. And it's encouraging then to know that our lives are in God's hands, that we have been approved. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commandeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." We have such great promises out in front of us. If we hold on with all our strength while relying on God for continuance of his help, then it'll be as it says in Romans 14 and verse 16 through 18. "Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that serveth Christ is well pleasing to God and approved of men."